Amen. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, this evening and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I want to thank Cornerstone Baptist Church for allowing my wife and I to be back with you. It's been our privilege again. Thank you allowing us to be here. I want to thank Cornerstone Baptist Church for all of its sacrifice in having us here. The cost of flying us and having us in for the week. Thank you so very much. And not just for me, but for the other missionaries as well. I know they, if they had this opportunity to be the keynote speaker. You know what a keynote speaker is, right? It's when you get to church and the pastor hands you a key with a note, lock up when you leave. Anyway, the bookend. So I want to thank you on behalf of the missionaries for all that you've done for us and allowing us to be here and for the meals and for the friendship, the friendliness, okay? For being here each night to listen to the Word of God. I'm excited, continuing excited about what God's doing here, amen, and how things just continue to progress by the grace of God, amen, thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, this evening, I'd like to look, continuing with the aspect of the theme of the year, pray without ceasing. And the aspect and the theme of this week, which is missions, and the fact that the church is participating in the missions via the biblical principle of making a vow by faith unto God, otherwise known as faith promise. So I'd like to look here this evening just very basically at this idea of how to pray about my faith promise part. How to pray about my faith promise part. Pastor has introduced and spoken about the faith promise that is the program that this church has chosen to do, and biblically so, to support missions. I'm not going to try to explain it from a pastoral mindset of why it's so important, okay, other than to say that as a church you need to plan, amen? How can you plan if you don't know what you're planning on, all right? What you have to plan with. It's just like any consider the ant, as the Bible says, in making plans. And so the way that this church makes their plans for the year for their missions budget and supporting missionaries is to know by faith what part will be coming in so that they can have a part, all right? God is able to make all grace abound in every area, and appreciate the messages that I've heard this week and have written down many things that God has given me, and I thank God for that. But faith promise, and so most of you, I would imagine, are pretty based in your faith promise, all right? This isn't your first rodeo, as we say, okay? But then there are some of you who maybe are coming of age, whether that be physically or spiritually, okay, that this may be your coming of age year for getting into missions, and God's opened your ears and opened your eyes and opened your heart, and you have this desire that, okay, I want to participate, but how in the world do you even jump in? And so I want to help you on that. And then there may be some who have sadly been misinformed, all right, who have tried to participate, but if you will, have participated in years past in the flesh, and it didn't work. Because that which is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. All right, and so faith promise has to be by faith, and faith is always in line or in principle with the Word of God, all right? You don't go outside the Word of God and then call it faith-based, all right? Mexicans, every one of them has faith in God, but very few of them are saved. It's because saving faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in God as a higher power, but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of people say they have faith. You know, years ago, back in the 80s, I guess, or 90s, you would have never heard somebody say, I'm a very spiritual man. You would have never heard that. And if you heard that, you would have looked at him like he was some kook. All right? But nowadays, you hear everybody talking about their spirituality. Now, sadly, they're not talking about the right spirit. And the reality is everybody is, at least they're acknowledging that they're a spiritual being, but that doesn't mean they're godly. And so what I'm saying is on faith promise, there's a lot of people maybe have participated in years gone past and have not seen that it was of God because it was not faith-based in God. Faith in some type of misconception of everything will work out, that's not what all things work together for good means, okay? And there's a lot of things that the devil has so subtly, because that's who he is, and we found that, you know, we find that out right away in the Garden of Eden that he was more subtle. And that have subtly made look like a Bible principle, but has nothing to do with biblical truth. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and so whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says in Romans 14, 23. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, we know, but in everything by prayer and supplication. But in everything by prayer. Pray then without ceasing. And so the year's theme, but let's take it to the week and the week's theme of being missions. Well, if there's one aspect of missions that we cannot ignore, in fact, we have to build from, it has to be the fact of, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, all right? Pastor's already mentioned that some have already turned their cards in. Thank you. Appreciate that. But listen, if you turn that card in without bathing it in prayer, ask Pastor for it back. Amen? Because you need to participate in prayer, because without faith it's sin. And you may have it all figured out in some other way, but that's not the Bible way. All right? Just see what God, were you saying that God may want me to increase the amount? And I told our church in Arizona this, every missions conference, it's not about the finances. It's all about the faith. All right? Don't make it about finances. Make it about faith, but because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I'll say this for your pastor, from a pastor's heart, and I know his heart is here as well, that even if that card that you had turned in, and you take back and you turn in a card that is less than the one you turned in, but the one you turn in is going to be of faith, and the one that you turned in was of flesh, I know your pastor would gladly say, I'm so glad that even though the finances have been reduced, that now you're going to learn to walk by faith and not by sight and see God do something in your life. Because otherwise it's a failure. It's a failure in your life, and it's a failure because it's not blessed by God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. I remember, so it's increase, Lord, increase my faith, not increase my finances. Amen? Increase my faith. I remember a personal story. I remember we were in a church in Michigan. I don't remember how old I was. I can kind of give you the setting. It was a two-story building. We were upstairs. There were stairs coming up from the basement, you know. Typical late 50s, early 60s church building, I guess. And the mission display table, we were standing by it. That was my job. And let me stop just real quick, and I want to recognize the missionary kids, okay? I thank God for a missions conference with missionary kids, amen. And so Nathaniel, I'm sorry, Brendan, and let's see, Faith, and Hope, and Nolan, and Ryan, thank you, all right, for being here and sitting in that van for so many miles and just serving the Lord, amen. I sat where you sat. I enjoyed it. And but anyway, one time my job was to set up the display table. I don't know. Did one of your children have the job of setting the display table up? Two of them. Okay, those two there. Somebody keeps adding pesos to their money back there. Quit it. They ran out of pesos and they had a penny. If you get back there, you'll see it now. But anyway, and the world has pesos to add. Yeah, I'll mess with people. You won't hardly know it. You'll just think, who did that? All right, because nobody expects me to do it. Anyway. We had our display, and so it was always my job to set up the display and kind of be back at the table, which to me it wasn't a job. People wanted to talk about Africa. That was all great with me, life in Africa. And all those stuffed things we had on the table, I just loved to explain it and talk about it. And so we're standing back there, and Dad was back there. And I remember, of course, this gentleman came up to my dad, and he said to my dad, he said, my dad's name was Ward Harris, and he says, Ward, I know what you're trying to do. my dad was just as I get who I am more from my mom, okay? The little devious part of the stuff, you know, I get that from my mom. My dad, you know, he wouldn't try to fool a person if for nothing, and just as honest as, you know, and he didn't joke, And so my dad was just had this look on his face like he was hurt that somebody would, you know, actually try to innuendo that he was doing something different than what he was doing. And he kind of looked at the man. The man says, I know what you're trying to do, Ward. You're trying to get my pocket, my wallet. And my dad just looked back at him and said, no, sir, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm trying to get your heart. And then he says, if I can get your heart, your wallet comes with it. And tonight, God's trying to get your heart. And all of me, Lord, not just part of me. Everything by prayer and supplication. How to pray about my faith promise part. I want tonight, by the grace of God, to be very informative very basic, very simple. My mother asked me one time, son, you going to continue your schooling? And she was big on schooling and stuff like that. And I said, yes, mother, I do believe I will. And she goes, how far do you think you take it? And I said, well, I'm going to go for my doctorate. And she was all smiles. And I said, I'm going for the, haven't got there yet, but I keep working on this. How to pray. And so I'd like to make it just that simple tonight on, so that you can have a part. God bless our service, your word, our thoughts, my tongue. May you be honored and glorified, and may others enter therein to the work of the ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 8, verse 1, and chapter 8 and 9 is the passage of Scripture that we have in the Word of God that perhaps best instructs us in this faith promise aspect of giving, all right? It's tremendous in depth. Now, there are passages of Scripture that I just love to preach on faith promise giving that are not here. They're tremendous illustrations that just profound on how this teaching of God's Word is not just here, but it's all the way through the Word of God, all right? Again, it goes back to the principle, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That which is without faith is sin. And the Bible talks about the vows that we need to make to God, and woe unto him that doesn't vow, and woe unto him that vows and defers not to pay it. But anyway, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse, in chapter 9, we find this New Testament principle of faith promise giving. And so Paul says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they are willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, there's the word, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, this is going down a very familiar path for most of you, but again, bear with me for those of you who know this path, so that those who are coming of age, both physically and spiritually, can understand this year, is that this passage of faith promise here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, of course, it's 2 Corinthians, and we understand that means it's the second book of Corinthians that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And so what happened in the first book is this church at Corinth had volunteered to help support a need in the church in Jerusalem. And they said, they promised that they would give to the Lord. Now, Paul went on from Church of Corinth, and if you don't know this about the Church of Corinth, then the Church of Corinth, let me say this, was a very wealthy church. They had means, all right? They were probably the church in the New Testament that had more means than any other church, all right? And so Paul goes on from that. He leaves Corinth, and he goes to the churches of Macedonia on this previous trip, and he's just all excited about the fact that this church in Corinth has voluntarily to say, hey, we're going to help the church in Jerusalem, who they were indeed, if you will, physically debtors to, because from them the gospel had come to the church at Corinth. And so they had said, we're going to help this church in Jerusalem, who was under severe persecution, as we know, and was suffering financially. Brother Martinez talked about how that when he went to Bible college, that he was doing some type of insurance, and his clients kind of dumped him because of his testimony. And that's what happens. And sometimes we need to recognize, and please do recognize, that sometimes it gets rougher before it gets better, all right? But just trust God, and you'll come through it, and God will bless you, and you'll be thankful that you went through the rough times. But there are rough times. And so Paul's telling the church of Macedonia because the purpose of telling the church of Macedonia is because they were suffering as well. They were the deep poverty, we read. And so he's just trying to encourage the churches of Macedonia, hang on, as God's helped the church of Jerusalem, God's going to help you. And as God's done for them, God will do for you what he's done for others. Amen. He'll do for you. But they didn't hear it that way. They heard it as, hey, let's do something to help others. And they took up an offering, as poor as they were, in their deep poverty, they took up an offering to send to churches, as the poem this morning was so aptly read, of others. And they said, let us do for others. And so they raised up this money, and reading between the lines, but scripturally seeing what it's saying, praying us with much entreaty that we would see the gift. That just simply means that they came to the Apostle Paul and they said, here, Paul, we have a gift, financial gift, to add to the gift that is going to be given by our rich brethren in Corinth to help the poor brethren in Jerusalem. And Paul says, I can't take that. That's what praying us with much entreaty means. That he didn't want to take it. He refused to take it. And they said, No, we have raised it to give, and we're going to give it. And Paul says, no, I don't think. And they said, yes, we do. We're going to give this. And praying us with much entreaty that we would take the gift, and so that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And so he did, and he took it, their money, on the spot. And he took it and he gave it to Jerusalem. And now it's been a year, and the church that promised in Corinth has done nothing. The rich church hasn't done a thing. They promised over a year ago. And Paul's going to go on and say, now fulfill the doing thereof. It's time you did what you promised to do. That's what this faith promise chapter is all about, so that you understand that. And Paul is trying to encourage the church at Corinth to participate like the churches of Macedonia have. We use it today. It can be used in, you can have a faith promise building program. Amen? It's not just about missions. You can have a faith promise special offering plan. It's not just about missions, but we have found that it so aptly falls into the ministering of the saints, which is what missionaries are all about. So let me how to pray about my faith promise part. I want to try to help you tonight on praying for what part, Lord, would you have me to do? Because we're to pray without ceasing and in everything, so that has to include faith promise, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let my request be made known unto God. And so how do I pray about that? And I'm not just trying to go home and figure out my budget and trying to squeeze it if I need to, or that's not what it's about. It's about saying, God, this time I really need to hear from you. I need to know what you want me to do. There's been too many times where churches are people, so I'm talking about the people, have been wrapped up in the emotion. And then through the year, they have been burdened with the duty. Instead of walking in a devotion of love to God. And they're not cheerfully giving, they're dutifully giving. They're not walking by faith, although they are sacrificing, because they were wrapped up in an emotion, having all these missionaries in and seeing all this stuff and this, wow, I want to participate, and just wrapped up in, I don't want you to be wrapped up in the emotion. Now, it's emotional. You've seen every one of us cry as a missionary. I watched Brother Martinez cry. He ought to be big enough and old enough to know not to do that. You've watched me cry. And I go home after I'm preaching, and I'm emotionally just exhausted and strained, and it's because of the emotions of it. It's an emotional thing. We're talking about the souls of men. But Pastor is not asking you to participate just simply out of the emotion of it. Pastor is saying, feel the need and then ask God to walk by faith. Amen. And then through the year, instead of seeing it as my duty, you know, I'm married to my wife, to love her, and I have to, no, that's not how it is. I love this woman. And I never wake up thinking it's my duty and I have to stay faithful and I have to do this and I have to supply and I have to. No, I get to. Because there's a devotion and not a duty. And it's time that we as believers walk by devotion and not by duty.
That's good.
Of course we're going to be dutiful. The Bible teaches us that. But if you walk in just your duty, you're burdened. But if you walk in devotion, you're blessed.
That's good. Amen.
And it'll turn your world upside down.
Yeah.
And it'll put a smile on your face. And you will become, as the Bible says, a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Because I get to love God. So let me try to explain a little bit here. And so I'm going to jump over to chapter 9 and verse number 7. And I want you to notice this real quick in this one verse because it's so poignantly pointed here in verse number 7. But my first point then in this faith promise is the sum of the participants. The sum of the participants. All right, so let's look at verse number 7. Chapter 9, verse 7. The sum of the participants. What's it say? Somebody read those first two words. Every man. Now that word man is given in the context of human beings, so it's talking about woman as well. And so what I could do, is it all right if I leave the pulpit, man? All right. Jesus said the sum of the participants is every man. So Elijah, does that include you?
Yes.
Joey, does that include you?
Yes,
okay. And I'm going to skip over these because these aren't part of the church, all right? But then I can go down and I can go through everyone. Brother Gary, does that include you? Does that include your wife? All right, and you can go all the way down from the youngest to the oldest, all right? And we say, the Bible says, what? Every man. So which one of you should not be involved in Faith Promise missions? All right? Every man. We taught Ezra when he was a youngster. He still is. We taught, because I got older. Anyway, we taught Ezra, son, every man. And so when you, we were out cleaning church. Maybe Ezra will probably remember this. We was out cleaning church, and Ezra was wanting to buy he had a bicycle, but he was wanting to buy a nicer bicycle, and he was trying to save money for it. And I said, Ezra, and I probably told all my kids, hey, I need to go up to the church building and I need to clean the church building. And Ezra is always right there with me. And he says, all right, Dad, let's go. And so Ezra and I went up to the church building and we were just cleaning around outside. Our church was in a rental facility. And so I just went up and on Saturdays and I'd clean up, make it look good for church. And even though, you know, we had all these other units, that didn't matter. And we weren't even in front of our church. We were on the other side of the parking lot over there where the fence gathered all the trash that had blown up and got a bag. And we're just cleaning up because it's part of our church building. And so Ezra's over there cleaning up and he bends down, he goes, look, Dad. And he picked up $100 bill. And that bike was a lot closer than it was a while ago. But every man. And so Ezra tithed on that $100. And then Ezra participated in his faith promise missions because even though he was knee-high at a grasshopper at the time or whatever it was, he was part of that every man. Now, if you go back to chapter number 8, let me look at this just to prove that actually it is the Bible. And chapter 9, verse number 7 is just giving us it in a simple way that we can understand that we're not misunderstanding it. And when it said every man, you go back to chapter number 8, and if you will, in verse number 1, look at this. Moreover, brethren. Take the word brethren. Moreover, brethren. Now, if I'm up here preaching, as the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the church of Corinth, and I said, now, brethren, which one of you am I leaving out? Amen? You see that? He's not leaving out anybody. He's putting everybody in the sentence. Now, brethren, he says in verse number 1, and then look at verse number 5. I'm just going to skip a few, but we're going down to verse number 5, and he says, this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their who? Their own selves. Now, if you know English grammar, then you understand that that's talking about everyone individually. Their own selves, all right? It's not skipping over anybody. It's their own selves. Verse number 8, let me go jump up to there. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. Whose love? Was it intermediate? Was it here, this guy's love, and that guy's love, and that lady's love, and this lady's love, but not hers, and not his, and not them, but them over here? No, it's talking about everybody. Prove the sincerity of your love. And so I can go all through this chapter and show you that as we continue on. Verse number 9 says, for ye know, ye, what's ye mean? Well, we kind of use the word, and we use the word today, if you will, you all, okay? But the difference, the reason the Bible doesn't use the word you all is because ye is more specific. Ye is you all, but I'm talking to you, Chris. Means ye all, but I'm talking to you, Brother Tony. Amen? That means ye all, but I'm talking to you individually. And so it's taking, and that's why the Bible is so rich and it's so right. Amen? Don't try to change it and think it's archaic. Just change yourself and put yourself where you need to be. But God is saying, listen, I'm talking to you all, but hey, I'm talking to you personally. I tell my people all the time, you know, I remember in one of my classes in Bible college that they taught us, you know, you're supposed to preach over everybody's head and not try to make it personal. I thought, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. I'm not going to preach over anybody's head. And I'm going to look them in the eye and tell them, hey, I'm preaching to you. And if you have doubts, I'll come down, walk down there and shake your hand and pick you up and talk to you, okay? What good does it do if I'm talking to your brother and I'm not talking to you? And that's exactly what Paul says. And so we find the sum of the participants. Verse number 9 again, let me go. Ye know that the grace of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes. How many of your sakes did Christ die for? Then how many of you are supposed to be involved in this participation? If Christ died for you, you're supposed to be involved in it. Amen. He became poor that ye, how many of those that were saved did Christ die for, that through his poverty, that ye through his poverty might be made rich? All right? Not me. You're missing it if you don't think so. And so as you go through this chapter, we come to this conclusion where it's so easy to not miss. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So we find the sum of the participants. And so I'm trying to tell you tonight, as Cornerstone Baptist Church, that every one of you is to participate. This isn't something for those. I'm glad Brother So-and-so was there. I'm glad Sister So-and-so was there, because I know they participate in this faith promise, and so I'm sure this really helped them. No, this is for you. Okay? And anybody have any doubt that I'm talking about you? Raise your hand so I can call you out. Amen? Because I don't want you to miss it. I'm talking to you. And you're supposed to have a part. Well, how much? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. How do I pray about what part I'm supposed to have? Well, first of all, we need to know that you're supposed to have a part. My wife and I have a part in our faith promise in our church in Ohio that sends us out. We have a faith promise participation because we're members of that church, because Adel Baptist Temple. We have a part in the work in Mexico, in our faith promise participation in Mexico, because we're to be an example of the believer in word and deed. And so we have a part there. It's a mission work out of Cazadil, so it's all kind of all the same thing. I understand that, but we need to be faithful where we're sent from, and then we need to be faithful where we're at. And you say, well, isn't that kind of like, that's kind of like, man, that's double taxes. Well, that's a phenomenal new idea. Nobody ever double taxes anything anymore, do they? But I just happen to believe that you can't outgive God. I just happen to believe God says that every gift and everything we do, well, God will reward. He has rewarded them that diligently seek him. So number one, the sum of the participants. All right, how many? Everybody say I. Amen. Some of us may have to say I. That's A-Y-E. But anyway, you know, I de me. Number two, let's go on and look at this. So we saw the sum of the participants. Number two, let's look at the source of my participation. The source of my participation. Let's look at this on our way to understanding how to pray, okay? So the sum of my participation, that I'm supposed to be involved. All right, now the source of my participation. How? So verse number 3 very aptly puts it this way. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, and here's the key, here's the phrase, they were willing. We heard that this morning. Willing and wise. They were willing of themselves. I preached in a church in Phoenix area years ago. And God had, in missions, and God had given me this idea before the service. And so I went down to the bank and kind of neat because the first bank I found was called Harris Bank. I thought, okay, that's fine. They've got to give me the money, right? I didn't persuade them. But, you know, I just, I cashed in some other stuff. And I said, do you happen to have some 50-cent piece? I'm moving back up here because Joy's looking right in the sun. And so I said, I'd like to get some rolls of 50-cent pieces. How many of you right now in your pocket has a 50-cent piece? Go figure, okay? And so they said, yeah, no problem, we have them. I said, how many you have? And they told me. I said, okay, that'll do. And so I told the church, I said, how many of you would be willing right now, I'm talking about right now, how many of you would be willing to ask God, say, God, if you gave me a 50-cent piece, I will seek your will as to what you want me to do with it. Raise your hand. And I had a taker of about 10, I don't know, maybe 20, I don't know. Hey, I'll pray. And so then I had my pouch of 50-cent pieces, and I went around and I gave everyone a 50-cent piece. And then I said, now how many of you were honest, and you're going to ask God what he wants you to do with that 50-cent piece? And so then I invited another missionary that was there. It was just getting started. And I said, I want you to come up. And they had their offering plates right here. And I gave them an offering plate. And I said, I'm not asking you to do it, but I'm asking you to pray about it. Now, how many of you would be willing to say, now, God, I didn't even have that 50-cent piece, and you gave it to me because I asked you to give it to me. And I'm willing to give it to that missionary. And you come by now, and you give it to this missionary. You don't step out unless you believe God wants you to do it. Because you promised me that you would pray and ask God what he would have you to do. And so the majority of them stepped up and lined up to give the missionary his 50-cent piece. And so he's collecting his 50-cent piece. And how many of you ever seen a $2 bill? Amen. How many of you have a $2 bill? Carrying one right now? Okay. Amen. Brother Elijah's got one. Praise the Lord. And so as they came by, they gave their 50-cent piece, and as they were walking back to their seat, I gave them a $2 bill. And I said, how many of you pray about what God wants you to do with that $2 bill now? ask God, God, what do you want me to do with this $2 bill? And as I sat down, I said, all right, let's pray about giving it to this missionary. Don't give it unless God wants you to give it. They came by, and some of them gave the $2 bill. And as they came by, I gave them a 10. They sat back down. Now, how many are you willing to pray to God what God would have you do with that $10 bill? Well, let's pray about maybe giving to this missionary. We went to a 20. But I cautioned them. I'm not God. My funds run out. I'm not going to tell you when my funds are going to run out. But I just want you to know my funds run out. But God never does. But how many are willing? See, if I'd started with the $100 bill, we might not be so willing. But when we start with something that's attainable to us, we seem to be a lot more willing. But it's not about us. It's about one bigger than us. And so we find not only the sum of the participants, but we find the source of my participation. Now, it's a willing mind. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, for if there be first, what comes before first? That's going back to that doctor's simplicity, all right? So just what comes before first? First is first, okay? So what's the first requirement here? For if there first be a willing mind. The first thing is you have to be willing. There's no other things in front of that. That's why God says it's first. So the first, a willing mind, is acceptable to according to that a man hath, and not according to the hath not. So we find the source of my participation is, first of all, there has to be a willing mind. Now, I need to keep running here, so help me here. The source of the participation we find, first of all, is a providential grace. Go back to verse number 1. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the giving of the church. No. The sacrifice of the church. No. We do you to wit of the grace of God. You see, giving is a grace. And participating in Faith Promise missions has to be a grace. If you're participating it in some other budget way, if you're participating in it in some other give-to-get way, you're missing the point. It's not what it's about. It's all about the fact that I am living by grace. I care not today what tomorrow may bring. Living by grace. Amen. In Jesus alone. And so we find there's a providential grace. Number 2, we find there's a personal giving. Verse number 5, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. So we find it's first again. It is a participation of a willing mind. But we find this too, that they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That's what my dad was saying about, I'm not trying to get your wallet. I'm trying to get your heart. I'm trying to get you to give yourself to God. And so the first part of, even before I'm praying about this, is I'm saying, Lord, I will first give myself. There's a providential, it's living by grace, and then there's a personal giving and saying, God, I'm giving myself to you. So before you can make this faith promise commitment, you need to be willing to say, God, I'm going to give myself to you. They first gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I don't want you to be followers of me unless, first of all, you're followers of God. And then, as Paul said, be followers of me. I don't want you to latch on to any missionary, whoever that may be, first, I want you to latch on to God first. And then if God puts a missionary in your path that you just kind of latch right onto, then latch on. But first, and so it's a personal giving. First gave themselves to the Lord. It's a providential grace. So we're talking about the source of my participation. Understand that as a participating participant here in what every man, that I need to recognize it's a providential grace. I need to rely on the grace of God for this. I need to understand that I'm just personally giving myself, and then it's a partnership. It's a partnership that is grasped, and then unto us. We're partnering. You know, if the church has another opportunity to come down to Mexico, may I encourage you to come on down. But if you don't, that's fine too, because it doesn't matter. You're still participating and you're still in partnership with us. Coming down with just my eye hath affected my heart. And I can tell you that Joey's life will be different from 2 weeks ago on because of an opportunity he took to go to Mexico. And not just because I went down to Mexico to take a little trip. You know, no. That's not it. It's that he got to see the work of the Lord in Mexico. And it's changed his whole mindset on it. It's changed his whole view of it. I trust to the good. It's changed his whole heart on this aspect of missionary life and what missionaries do. And I trust to the good. If it hasn't, it's my bad. And that's a risk that you take when a pastor says, hey, let's go visit a missionary. But it's a partnership grasp. And Joey can now grasp this reality that, hey, we have a partnership with the Harris family down in Mexico. It's not just about, you know, the prayer letter. And by less than a month or so, I've been invited to go to Israel with one of our supporting churches. And they asked me, and Brother Harris, Pastor Harris, would you be interested in going to Israel? My dad had a saying. He said, I'll go to Israel when God comes back. And I kind of felt the same way about it. And the pastor says, we'd like to pay your way to go to Israel. And I said, Pastor, I said, yes, but let me say this. I would never go to Israel. He goes, why not? I said, because if I had the money to go to Israel, I would spend it differently. He goes, what would you do with the money if you had the money to go to Israel? I said, I'd go to Argentina and visit a missionary. I didn't say Argentina, but you know what I mean. And I would go to Argentina. I don't even know if there's missionaries, but I'd still go to Argentina. And I'd go to some other country and I'd visit a missionary. And I said, I'd love to go to Israel, but it's just not in my bucket list of things I'm going to pay for. I'll go when the Lord comes back. He goes, oh, that's fine, as long as that's what you'd do with the money if you had it. Would like to take you to Israel. And I say that to say this, as again, I've already said that, quoted this verse, but the Bible says, my eye hath affected my heart. And I'm reading in my New Testament reading, you know, on a daily basis, and I'm thinking, I'll get to see that. And I have a whole different perspective, I'm sure, than most people do, because I was raised in Africa and I have a whole different concept of customs and cultures, and I live in a whole different country. And so a lot of these biblical customs and cultures that we would think of as third world today, that doesn't faze me. I understand that. But it's going to change my preaching. It's going to change my living. It's going to change my delight because I've seen it. And that's what it'll do when you go visit a missionary. So there's a participation grasp. And I know when I write Cornerstone, or I tell Ezra, or Ezra says, yeah, Mom and Dad, well, Mark are pulling me this morning, as we did, a couple months ago on a Sunday morning, and I had to put down the phone and say, hey, hold on here. I got to concentrate. We got shooting going on here. And they're shooting in front of us, and they're shooting behind us, and we were kind of doing this number, and okay, we made it through. And, and Ezra can come to church and say, yeah, Mom and Dad went another shootout. And Joey's going to say, where were they at? Oh, you remember where the OXO was? Yeah, which one? He's going to visualize this because there's a partnership. All right, so we find the sum of participants, every man. We find the source. And let's get down to the point here. So verse number 12, let's talk about the size of my promise or my participation. So how much? So the Bible makes it very clear. It says in verse number 12, for if there be first a willing mind. So let's go back up, let's stop a little bit and Selah on that a little bit and think on that a little bit. And let me ask you, is there a willing mind? Are you willing? Can you say in your heart and enough that it'll shake your head? Yeah, I'm willing. I'll do whatever God wants me to do. Don't follow me, okay? Just follow God. That's what we're trying to say. And your pastor would say the exact same thing. My men come to me and my ladies come to me and say, Pastor, how much should I give? And when it's tithing, I tell them, it's 10%. And one of our newest ladies, Sylvia, says, she's the one that lives out there, Brother Joey, across the river and all that, we actually ford a river to bring people to church, and it's not that deep, but anyway, and we go out there and bring them, and Pastor Garcia and I were coming back from that on Saturday night when the army stopped us, and so everybody knows what I'm talking about. Sylvia says, well, Pastor, my retirement is 3,000 pesos, that's $150 a month, and she says, how much of that is tithe? I said, tithe is 10%, so 3,000 times 10% is 300. Okay. Then she says, okay, well, how much is my missions? I don't have an answer for that, but here's the answer. For if there first be a willing mind, are you willing? If God says something, are you going to do it? Because don't make a vow to God, I'll do it, and then when God tells you, you say, yeah, I don't think so. There has to be a willing mind. God, talk to me. Look at this. It is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to he hath not. So let me go through this real quick. All right. Number one, there's the honest part. The honest part. According to a man, that a man hath. Pastor Garcia, I owe this week's faith promise. Would you give me $100? No. It's what you have, not what I have. So let me ask you this. Whose is the tithe? Leviticus. Whose is the tithe? The tithe is the Lord's. So we're not talking about the tithe. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about the honest part. So when God gives you your money, the tithe is the Lord's. Okay? So be honest with it. Now, after you give the tithe, then you can decide what part is missions. But until you give the tithe, you can't give the missions. Because the tithe is the Lord's. And if you haven't given the tithe, then you can't participate in missions because you're using somebody else's money. And you can't do that's not honest. That's not honest. And God wants you to be honest. And it's the tithe is the Lord's. And so there's the honest part that a man hath. You don't have God's money. You may have it, but it's not yours. And so you've got to give God his money. The tithe is the Lord's. And then you can participate and in this other aspect of giving unto the Lord, the tithe is the Lord. So there's the honest part. As a man hath, not according to that he hath not. You don't have God's money. It's not supposed to be yours. And if it's still in your wallet, woe is you and get it out of there. Amen. And then there's the, so there's the honest part, and then there's the hath part. According to that, a man hath. Now, when God said to Moses, I want you to lead my people out of Israel, Moses said, I don't think I can do that. Who am I, Lord? And he was right, he was nobody. But what did God ask him when he said, you're going to go stand before Pharaoh? And he said, who shall I say sent me? And he said, I am. And he says, yeah. What if they don't believe? What am I supposed to do? And God says, Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, throw it down. It became a serpent. And then the scary part, he said, pick it up. And he did. And you find the life of Moses, all through the life of Moses, what did God use? He used that rod. And every time he needed a miracle, what did he use? Well, why did he use the rod? Because it was what he hath. It was what is in his hand. God called a young man by the name of David and said, I want you to be a giant killer, but I'm the least of all my brethren. And the king said, hey, I got a good idea. Let me give you my armor. And he tried to put it on. He says, Ryan, can I have you come up here? Here's David. Here's King. I'm King Saul. This is David. David, I want you to put my, here, let's stand over here. I want you to put my suit of armor on so you can go fight the giant. Here, put this suit of armor on, David, so you can go fight that giant. And David says, I look like a clown. What's wrong with my suit jacket? Ryan, what would you call me a clown for? Go ahead, sit down. Thank you. He's not calling me a clown. He's just saying that I haven't tried this. This isn't what's in my hand. He says, but I'll do what God wants me to do, but I know what I'm supposed to use. It's supposed to use what I hath. And he went down to the brook. He picked up 5 stones, and he put in a little sling that he hath. And with that sling, he killed the giant. He had 4 more stones because he had 4 brothers he had to go after 2. But he always used what he hath. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and he fed 5,000 people. What did he hath? They said, what do we have here? And they said, we have five loaves and a few fishes. He says, that's what I'll use. I'll use the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And he fed the multitude and there's baskets left over. And so my question is this, what do you hath? What do you hath? What's in your hand? You see, there's been this false concept. I'm making Ezra work. There's this false concept of the idea that faith promises asking God for something like a lottery win. God's not in the lottery wins. That's not God's program. God's asking you, what do you have? One of my favorite passages of Scripture to deal with faith promises is there when Jesus comes to preach to the multitude, and he's preaching to the multitude at the lake, and he's done all that he can do, but he can't reach all of them. But he sees this idea that there's 2 boats with the fishermen gone out of them, they're cleaning their nets, and he says, hey, I pray you, give me your boat. Let me launch out a little bit. And then the people won't press on me, and then I can have this natural amphitheater I created from the world past for such a time as this. And they used the boats that they weren't using because Peter hath a boat and Andrew hath the boat. And they used those boats, and then God says, now that you'll let me use your boat, let me bless your boat. Launch out into the deep. What do you have? Faith promise is not about what you don't have. Faith promise is not about praying in some lottery win. Faith promise is not about praying in some settlement. Faith promise is not about praying in. God says, what I'm interested in is your faith and allowing me to replace what you have. Now, some of us have financed ourselves to the hilt so much that we don't have much to give God. And shame on us. But that's okay. What do you have right now? You know, after I pay the tithe, this is the Lord's, then that's gone. And now I got a car payment, I got a house payment, I got a car payment, and I got a toy payment, and I got a, you know, this payment, I got a, you know, Pastor Harris, I just don't have a whole lot left. Well, maybe this year, start putting God first. Yeah. And start trying to live within and below your means. Because why? Because there's a world dying and going to hell because you're busy paying off bills at this interest rate. And just say, Lord, I need to learn to be a better steward of my money so that I hath more. Because God wants me to give of what I hath, not what I have not. And so I don't have much this year, but Pastor, I tell you what, I'm going to work on this year. I'm going to work on paying these bills off. I'm going to work on, I owe no man nothing. I can't take and the house payment and give it to missions. Why? Because it doesn't belong to me. I've already signed it away. I can't take the car payment and give it to missions. Why not? Because I've already signed it away. And I can't take this payment and give it to missions. Why not? Because I've signed away. But God's more important. Be honest. You made the debt, you pay the debt. But also in your heart, say, I'm not going to do that ever again. Because God needs to come first. I want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added, just like God said it would be added unto me. And so there's the honest part, there's the hath part. And I've already touched on this, but let me just go through it real quick. And that's the hallucination part, or the hallucination perversion or misconception. Again, going back to our verse in verse number 12, and not according to the he hath not. Well, Pastor, when I win the lottery, you'll be the first to know I'll tithe. Are you tithing now? Then you're probably not going to tithe. Oh, my inheritance comes in. Pastor, you'll be the first to know. Are you giving now? Well, I don't think you're going to give then. And we all have this hallucination, grand idea, that when it all happens, then, no, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. The economy of God is run, if you will, if I can put it this way, the economy of God is run on facts of what I possess, my earthly possession. The economy of God is run on faith of who I believe, my eternal power. God is able, chapter 9, verse 8. The economy of God is not run on the fantasy of my imagination. All right. But when are you going to tell us how to pray about it? Okay, let's try to get back there now. Every man, a willing mind, as a man hath. As we pray about my part, every man, here's 3 points, and I'm done. Consider the sacrifice and the payment of the Savior. Verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that he might through his poverty, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Pray, God, what part would you have me to do, considering the sacrifice that you made and the payment for my sin? Number 2, pray, God, what part would you have me to do, because in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that you're lacking, amen? I just don't know what to do. Pray about it. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall rule your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Pray about it. When you're praying, consider the sacrifice and payment of the Savior. Number 2, consider the surrender and purpose of the saint. I'm talking about the missionary. This gentleman left a life that he already had on course. Spent 30 years in Argentina. When you pray about what part God would have you to do in missions, remember men like him that left surrender and the purpose in their life. Now I'm going to talk to us as missionaries. I'll let you listen. My dad said he couldn't live above standard of living of the poorest of those that supported him. It wasn't right. And I'd say, Dad, why can't we have this? He said, because, you know, Sister so-and-so in that church over there? She gives. Remember how she lived? And how can we live above some level when a sacrificial saint is giving for us to be? And as we pray and say, Lord, what part would you have me to give? Would you at least consider in your prayer, Lord, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. What can I leave that is better than heaven, which is where Christ left? What part of my life can I give that will outgive a Savior who gave his all for me? And when you pray and say, Lord, what part? Consider the sacrifice and the payment of the Savior, and consider the surrender and the purpose of the saint. And then Paul said, remembering the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to how that he said, it is better to give than to receive. Most of us think of that as money. But I think the context is more about the gospel. The country I'm from, the Central African Republic, the average lifespan is 43. I am now 58. I've been dead for 15 years. In those short 43 years, how many opportunities would have I had to hear the gospel before I died? Or for 15 years have I been in hell, screaming in torments, because somebody had the gospel and never gave it to me? And when you pray about my part, because every man has a part, and you understand that, yes, Lord, I'm willing. I'll do what you want me to do. I'm not going to base this on emotion, and I'm not going to base it on economy. I'm just going to base it on faith and earnestness. According to that which I have. And so, Lord, I don't have much left over right now, but I'll do better. But what I have, I'm willing to give you. Because in praying about what part you want me to give, I remember that Jesus died for me. I remember that there are those who are sacrificing what we know as life so they can carry the gospel to the regions beyond. And then, Lord, as I'm praying about what part, Lord, I also know that there are those, the sentence, if you will, and the penalty of the sinner, that if I don't give of what I have, the wages of sin is death. That's how we pray. Lord, what's my part? Thank you, Lord, for your blessings, the clarity of the Word of God. Lord, may every man with a willing heart, purpose in his heart to give that which he hath. And then, Lord, realize, like Aaron's rod, David's sling, and the lad's fishes, that you've promised to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. help this message of every man and give them the peace of God as to what God wants me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, thank you.
The piano begins to play. Yes, a great explanation of what faith promise is about, and it's for every one of us. The passage is so clear about that, and the preacher said that tonight. For every one of us, according to what a man hath, what we have that's available to give to God. And may we learn to just by faith trust the Lord. May we be willing and go before the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And God will bless that, but we have to be willing. Are you willing tonight? Am I willing tonight? Maybe you're still hanging out there. Well, as I've said before, you do what God tells you to do. But I hope each and every one of us will certainly go to the Lord with that. And maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart. And my prayer for you, because the best thing that we can ever do is to listen to God and to follow Him. That is always the best course. Because chiefly, it's honoring to Him, which is our calling in life. That we want to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we obey Him, it honors Him. That's what's most important. But you know, secondly, it becomes a great blessing for us. We learn how to give cheerfully. We learn how to do it in a manner that is not out of obligation or duty, but we give because it's a blessing to give. God has given us so much. And so, as we were warned earlier, we can get all wound up emotionally and make some commitment that is out of reality, and that's a hard act to follow, because then it will just become duty. But may we get our answer from God and trust Him tonight. Father, would you help us? Thank you for what we've heard tonight. Thank you for what your word clearly states in regard to making this promise, this pledge. We understand that it can be used in numerous ways, but it certainly can be used with a missions program and supporting missionaries. So I pray that you'd work in each and every one of our hearts. May we all be willing. And I know if we're willing, you'll be able to show us. And so may we just be patient to wait upon you, and we know and trust that you'll guide and lead us. We thank you. We pray tonight for somebody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you'll work in those hearts, that you'll show them their need for a Savior. So we pray for the decisions that need to be made tonight, and may those decisions be made as we look unto you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.